Hey everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Cesternino, and I'm very excited about this special episode of the podcast, because we're back talking about Survivor, and we're talking about a subject matter that I've long wanted to know more about, and that is Myers-Briggs types. And we're going to be learning about the 16 Myers-Briggs types, and the survivor who best represents each of the 16 types, and learning a little bit more about Myers-Briggs types along the way. And we are very lucky to have here with us a certified Myers-Briggs practitioner. She's been on the podcast before. Once upon a time, she helped us learn about JT Thomas, and some blame her for his performance in Survivor Game Changers, but she's back, and we're here to talk about Myers-Briggs. Please welcome avid musician Lindsay Resko. Lindsay, how are you?
Rob, I'm doing good. Just the JT saboteur over here.
Yes. Okay. No, you had nothing to do with you. Stephen Fishback has forgiven you for how JT did way back in Survivor Game Changers. And here we are. And I was so happy when we were talking as part of the class of 2020 interviews. And I saw on your resume that you had this Myers-Briggs certified practitioner. And I said, I have long wanted to do a podcast talking about how that relates to Survivor, because I've taken the quiz and I get a bunch of letters and then I don't know what to do with it from there. But I thought that it would be really fun to go through all the different types and talk about which Survivor really is the representation of each of these types. And then it'll help us really understand, oh, okay, I know who this person is. This person is a Dan Liu. This person is a Gina Cruz. Maybe. Okay. All right. So I'm quizzing myself on
what
random
here.
Survivors I could come up with. Okay. All right. So, Lindsay, I'm very excited about all of this. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into being interested in Myers-Briggs types.
Sure. So I actually work in higher education. I do a lot around student leaderships and student clubs and training. So my job actually sent me off to Myers-Briggs Bootcamp, which is, you know, like a little cloak and dagger society that you go to for a week, and they lock you in a room and you learn all about Myers-Briggs for a full week, and you type each other all the time and you drink the Kool-Aid, mm-hmm. and then you come out and you can do this to other people and learn and teach them about what types they are.
Okay.
And it's sort of just a way to get the vernacular down.
Yeah. And so for people who have no idea what Myers-Briggs types are, can you sort of explain, exactly what they do for people?
Yeah. So basically, it's a personality test. So it's not that fancy. It's basically the test. What it is it's two women, Myers and Briggs, which is actually a mother-daughter pairing who created this, which I think is very cool. Yeah. Like the great Morette Easton pairing.
Yes.
And what they did is they took personality types created by this psychologist named Carl Jung, and they put it into a format that you can actually take it sort of as a quiz, like a BuzzFeed quiz, but a little more psychology based.
Yeah.
And then you come out of it with, you are considered one of these 16 types that helps you understand your personality and the personality of others.
Okay. Let's give out the link for taking the test, because people may want to stop down and maybe that you hear this and you'll be interested at the end and you want to take the quiz. But if you want to take the quiz now and then learn about your type as we go along, Lindsay sent me a link to 16personalities.com. Very Survivor-esque, if we're talking about classic Survivor. 16 personalities, 16 Myers-Briggs types. One podcast. Yeah.
And how cool would it be on Survivor if every season they just cast one of each Myers-Briggs personality, which is not a thing that they do.
Would that be a good season, or is there probably better, more conducive Myers-Briggs types? Like, there's probably a couple that are boring TV.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it's not the best ideal casting.
Not the ideal way to cast the show. All right. Yeah. So Lindsay sent me this quiz, 16 personalities. It'll take you about 7-8 minutes to go through it. I have not revealed the results of what personality type I am to Lindsay. As we go along, we go through them. She can guess which one I am. And then when we get to the one that I am, then I will reveal which one I am. And I've taken this test before. I actually like this one from the 16personalities.com because I just didn't get like back like a bunch of letters that like, I don't know what to do with this. I am whatever, you, and I'm sure you could explain the letters. I'm like, oh, okay, great. These four letters. I don't know what that means now.
Yeah. So also the 16personalities.com one is like a little bit of a bootleg version. It's not the official version, but you don't need to go paying money to take an official version. Take this online one because I think it gives helpful information and summaries after. And it's the same stuff.
Lindsay, how is this type of information practically applied in people's lives and in business?
Well, I think it's used a lot in business, maybe more than it should be, because I do. Yeah. You know, I do sometimes think Myers-Briggs is a little fluffy, right? It's like typing us into these 16 different boxes when, you know, there's 7 billion people in the world. We're all really nuanced humans. It's not so simplistic, but I think it's like a fun way to try to analyze and understand each other. And I think where it can be used in business or in work life is understanding not only your own type, but the types of others. So you can understand the best ways to communicate with somebody. Mm-hmm. And that can be used in, if you know you want to get what you want from someone, that's how people use it in Survivor all the time, right? Is like, you know, the type of person that you're talking to and you want to ultimately meet your goal of having them do what you want. You need to understand how they work as a person in order to do that. I think it's the same in business too.
Once upon a time when I used to do the love know-it-alls, Lindsay, that we talked about Myers-Briggs types in dating with the great Survivor winner at war, Sophie Clark. Is that a common use of Myers-Briggs types also?
Oh my God, yeah, that's Reddit's favorite thing about Myers-Briggs. It's like, I'm a this type and my boyfriend is a this type. Here's how we interact. Let's chat about it. But yeah, definitely. I think people use that. I know some countries actually, when Myers-Briggs first came out, actually use that as a way to try to like set people up. This was probably in the days before online dating was a huge thing. But yeah, to help you find your perfect match.
So if you're already married, then is there even a point for me to have the First Lady of Podcasting take the Myers-Briggs test? Like, what if it says like, oh, this is not a match? What do I do then?
No, you absolutely should, because it can make you be a better husband to her, I think.
Okay.
Which I'm sure she would always appreciate.
All right. Well, let me go ahead and I'll have her work on that later on tonight. All right. So do you want to start with personality types or with one particular type, or do you have anything else you want to do to set the table?
I think we have to explain a little bit about what the letters mean.
Yes. Okay. Tell me about the letters.
Yeah. So when you get a Myers-Briggs type back, so when you take this 16personalities.com quiz, you're going to get four letters back, which initially is going to sound like gibberish. So you're going to get ISFJ or ESTP. So I'm going to explain quickly what each of those things mean to try to make sense of them. So basically, like we said, there's 16 different types that you can fall into. And the way that that is done is there's four different sets of pairings. So we call them dichotomies, but you can either be E or an I. So that's actually what the first pair is either you will test that you prefer extroversion or introversion. I think this is a good place to start because we're all probably familiar with the words extrovert and introvert. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the way that we use them in our normal vernacular is usually we say extroverts are people who are super gregarious, really outgoing, and introverts are people who are a little more reserved. Well, in Myers-Briggs, it means something a little more nuanced. Introversion versus extroversion means where do you get your energy from? So if you spend an hour at a party, does that make you feel really pumped up and recharged? Because if it does, you're probably an extrovert. If you spend an hour at a party with 50 people and you come home and you're like, I gotta recharge my batteries because that was draining, then you might be an introvert. So again, we are all have days and moments where we are more extroverted and introverted. Nobody is all one thing. It's a sliding scale and it all is in shades of gray. But generally, you have something that you naturally prefer. So that's the first pair is introvert versus extrovert, E or an I. Now, the second pair is S versus N. Do you know anything about this one, Rob?
Give me the first one. I guess I'll tell you what the other one is.
S is sensing.
Sensing. I think the S was the one I knew.
Okay. So S is sensing and N stands for intuition in this. Now, N can't be, intuition can't be an I because we've already used I.
Okay.
So it's sensing versus intuition. And basically what this looks at is how do you like to take in information? So people who prefer the sensing type, they take in literal information using their five senses. So what does it look like? What is it saying? What does it taste like? Very factual and reality based. Folks who are N tend to take in their information, you know, in more of concepts and figuratively and thinking about the big pictures. And sometimes like those nuanced details might be a little lost on N's.
Okay.
Now, I think that's the most confusing one. The best example I can give of that is at one point last year for Mother's Day, I went to a mansion with my mom. We walked through this big house and we came out at the end of it. And I said, "Mom, what was your favorite room?" And she said, "I loved the room with the white tables and the blue couches and the big shiny chandelier that was all pink." And she said, "What was your favorite room?" And I said, "I loved that room that looked like it was on the rocky coast of Rhode Island and you can sit and you could start your novel there." And mm-hmm. we realized we were actually talking about the exact same room. But the way that we took in that information is she remembered the colors and the facts and the furniture. And I remembered like the story that the room told and how it made me feel. And that's because my mom's a really strong S and I'm a strong N. So that's what that dichotomy means.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, the third dichotomy is pretty easy one. This is how do you make your decisions? And this one is either thinking or feeling. So this you'll see as T or F. Do you make your decisions with your head or do you make your decisions with your heart? And I think this is a really big one in Survivor and things. This is probably the dichotomy in Survivor that the players battle with the most. Do I want to make people feel good? Do I want to make my decisions based on empathy and how it's going to impact others and relationships? Or do I want to do the really nuanced logical thing in this moment?
Mm-hmm.
And the last dichotomy is judging versus perceiving. So this is J versus P. And what it means is how do you prefer to orient your and organize your life? Now, folks who are J's are really type A. So this is really organized people. They like rules. They like structure. They like sticking to it. And then on the P side, the perceiving people tend to like flexibility and adaptability and are more comfortable with change and can sometimes feel very restricted by too much structure. So that is the general outline. And you will be assigned one of those two dichotomies from each one to give you a four-letter term that will be your Myers-Briggs type.
Okay. What if you're not too far, you're 51-49 on any one of these things? Does that screw up sort of like what it spits out?
No, I mean, like everybody is that way. Nobody is 100% of anything for the most part. So we are all shades of gray, which is why, you know, some of this feels a little BuzzFeed-y, mm-hmm. Like a BuzzFeed quiz. It's not an exact science. But what Myers-Briggs says is that we all have like a natural preference that we tend towards. But for folks who fall in the middle, which I kind of think as I was trying to type you out, Rob,
yes.
I do think you fall in the middle for a lot of these things.
Yeah.
And which does make you harder to type and it doesn't make you a good stereotype.
Yes.
So I think the people who fall into those like stereotypical roles are people who slot really far towards the sides of the dichotomies.
And I think that's what's going to be fun to use these Survivor examples to really define each of these 16 people. Because I'm sure out of the almost 600 Survivors, we could really nail some of these Myers-Briggs types.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. So, are you ready to talk about the first type?
I'm so ready.
Okay. Where do you start?
I guess let's start with our more introverted players. Let's start with our I types.
Okay.
I think we can start with ISTJ here.
ISTJ. So, we're going with our introvert, sensing, thinking, judging.
That's correct. And now, so ISTJ types, they are, put in a very stereotypical term, these are some of like your human calculator type people. They're responsible. They're organized. They don't really like chaos. They want to organize the chaos. They like rules. They are rule abiding. Think Dwight Schrute. Think Ned Stark. Think Janet from The Good Place. And that is the type of ISTJ person. They work hard. They make sacrifices to keep the ship running really smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
And now for our ISTJ type, I'm going to say two of the people that I think really exemplify that in Survivor, Candace Cody and Matt Von Ertvelde.
Okay. Survivor Amazon. Wow. All right.
Yeah. Hot take.
All right. So, all right. So I wouldn't necessarily compare those two together. All right. So let me hear the analysis.
Well, so I think Candace Cody is, she's a really structured reality type person. I mean, she's a doctor, so she's somebody who is steady and stable and relies on facts and order. And I think she plays the Survivor game that way as well. And I think Matt is similar. Matt gives me so many Dwight Schrute vibes. Now, you lived with him, mm-hmm. so you can probably talk more about this. Do you feel like Matt is a Dwight Schrute type character?
I don't know if I would necessarily say Dwight Schrute, because I think that part of Matt, and I don't know if it really came across on the TV, sometimes he would be so like out there in terms of what he was talking about, where that he would discuss things that were just like, I don't know, I feel like that maybe... he would be like a little bit more like, maybe because he was so much in his head that he wasn't really on the same page as everybody else.
That's interesting. So maybe he is more of an N than an S.
Mm.
If he is like living in that really cognitive in his own head type of world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So then maybe Candace Cody is our good example of that.
Yes.
A little bit of like a human calculator robot type player. I think Candace Cody had a little bit of trouble making some of those meaningful relationships in the game and having that like softer edge to her. And I do think that's something that ISTJ types struggle with in Survivor in general.
Okay. Now, Lindsay, I don't know if this is going to come as a shock to you, but I didn't know the order that you were going to start. But when I took the quiz last night, this is what it came up with for me.
And how do you feel about it?
Well, I felt good about it until you said that as a human calculator, Ned Stark, because I don't feel like that. That's not me.
All right. Can I give you my analysis of you and Myers-Briggs?
Yes.
Okay. So I think the character that we see Rob Cesternino as in Survivor the Amazon is very different than the podcaster,
okay.
Rob Cesternino.
Yes. All right.
Now, there is a very specific type that I think you are, and I'll bring it up when we get to it, but I think that you played as a very certain type mm-hmm. in Survivor the Amazon, because you were playing a game that required you to be social, strategic, to be adaptable. And I think in a lot of ways, you sort of like creatively invented new ways to play this game so early in Survivor history. Now, you as a real human being, you are on a podcast, you're running your podcast empire, you're creating entertainment, and this is your business. So the way that you orient yourself, I think, is very different than you were, what, 25 the first time you played Amazon?
Yeah.
You're 24.
And now I'm older.
Now you're older and you're also running a business in a very different way. So I believe you as an ISTJ when it comes to being a person who runs a podcast and has to be very present and organized and connect in these one-on-one settings, which mm-hmm. I think tends towards introverts.
Okay. Can I ask you in terms of like when you're using me as the example, that does a person change? Are you one Myers-Briggs type at 20 and you could be a different Myers-Briggs type at 40?
So that's a good question. Myers-Briggs itself tells you no, that you are born with this inside your soul and you are it forever. Yeah. Lindsay Resko says yes. I think that all of these things are very much influenced by like factors such as your identities, your age, your nature, your nurture, and your life experience. Mm-hmm. So I think these things can change and people flex how, how they're acting at different moments in their lives. And I also think you as a TV character doesn't necessarily mean that's who you are at your core. It's like who you were when you were playing a game.
Yeah. Okay. When I was reading through what the 16 personalities calls the logistician, it didn't sound too bad, but Yeah, I feel like, I don't know. Do you feel like that I did it wrong? Was I too hard? I feel like that, maybe was I in a bad mood when I took the quiz?
No, tell me what in the analysis stuck out to you that you feel like is really relatable.
I'd have to go through it, but I feel like that there were definitely some points from the assessment that they talk about, like very practical, jack of all trades, sometimes judging. I could see that. I could see that. Responsible. I do like take very seriously like my job, my duty. I guess that's the Ned Stark part of it.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, does Ned Stark make you feel like that's something you can relate to more?
No. Ned Stark was a big dummy.
He just really was kind of a martyr. He really liked order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah. I feel like I have a lot of chaos and disorder around me also.
True, but do you try to organize that chaos?
Sometimes, depending on how many cups of coffee I had in a day.
Right. And I think that's like a Jay's tendency in nature is like you want to like put that into a structure because chaos doesn't feel natural to you. So you want to like make it a way that is comprehensible to you.
So let me ask you one other thing about these 16 personalities. So that there's a 16 personalities, but then there is like an A and a T at the end. Is that important for what we're talking about? Because that I also got a additional character at the end of my Ford character Myers-Briggs type.
Nah, I would say that's not super relevant to what we're talking about.
Okay. All right. So, all right. So we won't worry about that because the 16 personalities made it sound like that. That's a very big deal. Whether you're
A or
T.
Yeah, what does that stand for? Turbulent or assertive, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess that means how far you are. And so if it's turbulent, that probably means you tend towards the middle of it.
Yeah.
Like your dichotomies fall more in the middle of the scale. And if you are more assertive, that means your dichotomies tend to fall more towards the end, which means you tend to be more of like the stereotype of that type.
Yeah, I was more turbulent on the ISTJ.
Right. So you fall towards the middle of a lot of these things.
Okay. Boy, I can't believe Matthew and I didn't just be simpatico the whole time that we have the same Myers-Briggs certification or type. We don't have certifications.
Maybe it made you butt heads.
Maybe. It's like, hey, I'm the ISTJ this season. Okay. All right. So where do you want to go next?
Let's go right over to ISFJs now.
Okay. ISFJ. Just by the way, if anybody's scoring at home, I was introverted 76, observant 58, thinking 74, judging 72.
Yes. And in the 16 personalities quiz, they're using the word observant instead of sensing.
Okay. All right. That's what I got. Yes. Okay. And it says that my strategy is constant improvement. I was like, oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay. They probably make them all sound good for, they don't want anybody to feel bad with what they get.
Definitely not. They're not going to lead with what's like terrible about your type because that would be awful. No one would go to their website.
They have to really make it seem they're all great. I want to quickly step away from talking about the Myers-Briggs types of Survivor to thank our sponsor, and we'll get back to Lindsay in just a moment. But our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, those are our friends over at Beachbody On Demand. Now, look, ISTJs like me, we're looking for constant improvement. And one of the great ways to get that is with Beachbody On Demand, because Beachbody wants to take all the anxiety out of a workout and let you enjoy a fun and simple and affordable way to get your body moving. You don't have to search for hours to find programs that are right for you. Beachbody has thousands of workouts, and you can select the type of program that you want, no matter what your personality type is, to get you motivated and started on your fitness journey, all from the comfort of your own home. They've got a great offer for our listeners. You can have a special free trial membership. Just text the words RHAP to 303030. That's the numbers 303030, 303030. Beachbody On Demand, they are the people that bring you P90X. Insanity, 21-day fix. They've got the best trainers, Tony Horton, Joel Freeman. That's my favorite. That's my guy, Joel. Autumn, Calabrese, so many different programs. My favorite is Lift 4. I like that one. That's 4 days on, and then you get 3 days off. There's some high-intensity interval training there as well. That's a great one, especially as I'm learning that it appeals to my sense as an ISTJ of you get worksheets and you get to write down in your worksheet to get a sense of accomplishment when you complete the program. And they've got that for so many of the programs. They give you a whole schedule so you know what you're doing. You can look ahead. It's great. You can access it anytime, anywhere. Computer, web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, Roku, Apple TV, you name it. You can get on Beachbody On Demand. The listeners of Rob's podcast can try it for free. So go ahead and get your special free trial membership. Text RHAP to 303030. You'll get access to the entire platform, all the workouts, nutritional information, support, all absolutely free. Just text RHAP, get a pen, RHAP to 303030 for your special trial of Beachbody On Demand. Now let's get back to learning about the Myers-Briggs types of Survivor. So what's next?
So ISFJs. So now we're shifting over, similar to ISTJs, but now this is people who are going to make their decisions with their feelings instead of with their thinking. So think of this as like the archetype of like the steadfast support system to the protagonist. Really caretaker type, loyal to traditions, love to meet the needs of others, very selfless. Think like Pam Beasley, Samwise Gamgee, Dr. Watson from Sherlock. Mm-hmm. That is what an ISFJ feels like.
So we have a lot of losing finalists here. Is that what you're saying?
Shocking. That is really interesting. Actually, no. This is a category that, from my guesses, my estimations here, we have four winners who fall as ISFJs.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I think Natalie White is actually a good example of sort of like an architect of like an ISFJ, which you'll see sometimes this listed as like the protector type. And I think she's a good one because she's very traditional. She has a lot of like religiously held beliefs. But I think like one of her identifying personality traits is like she is so kind and warm and empathetic.
She killed that rat, Lindsay.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. But she did make a lot of friends on the jury where they loved her.
She did. She made it like she knew easy for names. People to vote against Russell. You know? And I think like we actually have a lot of other winning women who are in this category. And to be honest, there are a lot of the women that I think we tend to like rank a little bit lower in the winners rankings of Survivor.
Interesting. So who else you got? Natalie White.
Danny Boatwright.
Okay.
Jenna Maraska. Mm-hmm. And Vesepia.
Okay. All right. So they are, as 16personalities.com calls them, very dedicated, warm protectors, always ready to defend their loved ones.
Yeah, they're like sensitive to the needs of others, are sort of going to like, you know, they like routine and tradition, which is sort of that like SJ combination, but also like connectors and care about the people that are around them, probably better at connecting one-on-one than they are in larger groups too, mm-hmm. which I think Natalie really exemplified that as well. She was like really able to connect with people in a more like one-on-one level.
Do you think that it's important for a Survivor player, hypothetically speaking, if they ever made another Survivor season, if someone was going to go out on Survivor, like if they knew, oh, I'm an ISFJ. This is how I should be playing the game. This is what I need to do.
I guess it depends what you value. I mean, if you're an ISFJ woman, there are like really clear examples of, I think, women who have won that way. Now, I don't think they make the best TV. Mm-hmm. And I think like,
don't tell them in casting if you're an ISFJ.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's a really valid way to win. And I think like if those are the tools that you have as a person, you should follow that strategy and you should take that strategy to the end and cash that big check. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they make for like
who we as Survivor analysts would consider really great winners or really fun television.
But isn't it more important to like know who you are and know about like what your skill sets are of like, okay, well, I'm this type of personality, so I shouldn't go out there and try to like be the leader of the tribe on day one?
I think so, because I do think you have some people on the show like Lisa Welchel, who was like clearly an F type, right? She made her decisions based on feelings, but she was trying to be a T. That was something she was like working towards. And you saw a lot of internal conflict with her throughout the show. And I think that like maybe if people could try to like make peace with who they are and try to find their path, using, like you said, their skill sets, that might be a little more beneficial than like living in like the terror that Lisa did for that whole season.
Okay. All right. Anything else on ISFJ?
No, they're really nice.
They're nice. Okay. You should find a ISFJ and be friends with them.
Yeah, good friends.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's next?
So our next type is INFJ.
INFJ. So we're looking at introverted, intuition, feeling, judging.
Yep.
Okay.
And this is one of my favorite types. And it's one of my favorite types because I think this is such a cool archetype of person. This is like that old soul who is going to know you better than you know yourself and teach you something about yourself. They tend to be really introspective and creative and very nurturing. And they have a lot of personal integrity and a great ability to connect with others and understands people's essence. So think like, you know,
like
some
you,
stereotypes.
Lindsay?
No, this isn't me at all.
All right.
But thank you. That's really flattering.
Yes.
This is like Atticus Finch or like Yoda or Remus Lupin. Remus Lupin.
Oh, okay.
Definitely not Reem.
Yes. Okay. So a wise teacher.
Yes, okay. Exactly. A wise teacher. It often goes by the term like the counselor is what you may see it listed as sometimes. And I think a great example of this one is going to be Kim Spradlin.
Kim Spradlin. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I think Denise is probably a good example. I think Aubrey Bracco is probably another good example. But Kim Spradlin, I mean, this woman got Kat to like sleep with her picture under her pillow for the rest of her life. Like Kim taught Kat so much about herself and the way that she just connected to others and made people understand where she was coming from. She had such an easy time convincing people of thinking the same way that she did and just connecting with people on a really genuine level. I think it made her an incredibly likable player and one of our best winners of all time.
Okay. Can you talk about, I wouldn't think that the J part would be there in this type of character.
Oh, interesting. Why do you say that?
I feel like that judging, isn't that a lot of sort of like, I think that a person who is a judger is somebody who might just sort of like make like sort of like knee jerk reactions to things. Whereas I feel like that the perceiver might be more of a nurturer.
Not necessarily. So judging in this case doesn't necessarily mean somebody who is judgmental. Judging means of how do you like to organize your life? Do you like details and order? And I think that these types of characters we're thinking about, like our very orderly Atticus Finch or Dumbledore. These are people who like keep the ship moving and they do it in a very benevolent way. But ultimately, these are very like organized souls who move us forward.
Okay. All right. So INFJ, that's our Kim Spradlin.
Yeah, that's our Kim Spradlin.
Call on 16 personalities, quiet and mystical, yet very inspiring and tireless idealist.
Tell me that's not Kim Spradlin.
Yeah.
Quiet and mystical.
Yeah. She has three kids. I don't know how she is able to do it all.
I know. And she flips homes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
She's very mystical.
Okay. Mystical Kim. All right. What's next?
So next is the INTJ.
Okay. INTJ. This is our introverted, intuition, thinking, judging.
Mm-hmm. So this, sometimes you'll hear this referred to as like the mastermind, or in my colloquial terms, like the evil genius.
Evil genius.
These are people who are objective and thorough, and they like solving problems, and they're eager to like improve a system. And generally think of like your really smart and rational, brilliant friend, and they might be an INTJ. So I think some examples of this in pop culture are like Peter Baelish is a really good INTJ from Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Littlefinger, yep. Severus Snape. Wednesday Adams, I would say, is an INTJ. And in Survivor lore, well, Rob, do you have any guesses of, based on that description, is there anyone you can think of that might be an INTJ?
Tony.
Oh, interesting. Now, I wouldn't put Tony there.
Russell.
Tony. Russell Hans.
Yes.
No, I don't
Russell
think so.
Russell Swan.
Russell Swan could be an INTJ. I think Russell Swan might be an ENTJ. I think Russell Swan is a little more extroverted than introverted.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So the there's actually, I think, a lot of good examples in Survivor of INTJs. I think this is a good type to be in Survivor. And I'm going to say a quintessential example of this is going to be Spencer Bledsoe.
Mm.
So really somebody who is in his head, having a lot of sort of like working through systems in his own head, and likes to keep things orderly and organized, but ultimately, you know, really wants to bring those concepts to reality. I think this is like a good chess player, Myers-Briggs orientation.
Yes.
We also have a lot of winners in this category too.
Who else?
Brian Heidick, I think, is a great example of this.
Yes.
This is also where I would put Yul Kwan and Sophie.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They call this person on 16 Personalities the architect, the imaginative and strategic thinkers with a plan for everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that's a good example of a Yul, Sophie, Brian type as well.
Okay. All right. What's next?
Let's go down to INTP.
INTP are introvert, intuition, thinking, perceiving.
That's right. This is another one of my favorites. And it's because I think they're such a fun, stereotype of a character. If you think of like the cool mad scientist who is going to disappear into their science lab and come out 5 days later and hasn't slept, but has like singed off their eyebrows and invented something that is going to save the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like INTPs are going to save us from COVID. I feel really strongly
okay,
about
well,
that.
That's good. We need more of them.
We sure do. So these are like your philosophical innovators. They're fascinated by like logical analysis. They like designing and completing systems and theories. They're calm and serious, but like very passionate people too.
Like Christian Hubicki?
I think Christian Hubicki, I would have definitely put as an INTP. Here's what's interesting. He got on Reddit and said that he is a different type. So I think Christian Hubicki would have been like a perfect example of this, but he said on Reddit, he's
he said
something
he's not.
Else. Okay. He said he's not. He's an ENFP. Yeah.
Okay. All
so right. That's interesting.
Okay. We'll get to that later. All right. So then, who are the Survivor INTPs?
Gimme for this one, Greg Buis, Bob Crowley, John Cochran.
Okay. All right. That's our Cochran.
Yeah. And I think Bob Crowley is like an interesting example as somebody who, you know, he wasn't like the most social player on his season, but he was always like sitting there creating and inventing things, which really endeared him to people. I mean, he created one of our best fake idols in the early days of fake idols that I think we've seen in Survivor. And so that's where he lived. He lived like up in his brain in a world that was like really creating and inventing and was like adaptable to different types of change.
Mm-hmm. Coming up with new stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Anything else on the INTPs?
No, they're really fun. This is like Belle's father from Beauty and the Beast, I think, is like such a great INTP. They're such a fun type in like literature and TV and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. What's next, Lindsay?
So next is the INFP.
INFP are introvert, intuition, feeling, perceiving.
That's right. So this is like your ultimate daydreamer character, like somebody who really lives in their head. They are an imaginative, idealistic type of person, very much like guided by their beliefs and values, and like very present with people and like getting deep with people. I think like Luna Lovegood from Harry Potter is like the ultimate INFP. And in Survivor, I think one of our ultimate INFPs is David Wright.
David Wright. Poetic, kind, altruistic people, always eager to help a good cause.
Yeah.
Okay. David Wright.
Yeah. Lives in his head, has chosen like a very creative profession. And really, I think David Wright's strength is like his strategy, but it's also the way that he has like been able to connect with others and share his story and sort of be vulnerable on television and with other people in his seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They call this person the mediator on 16 Personalities.
Yeah, I could see that.
Okay.
Somebody who's not really comfortable with conflict, I would say, either. So wants to be able to like be the person to solve and make everybody feel good.
Can you give another example besides David Wright?
Colleen Haskell comes to mind, I would say.
Yeah, I feel like that David Wright, I think that you sort of like have like there's different connotations with him. But I feel like that, okay, Colleen, I could see that more.
Yeah, another person who is like a sweet, creative, but also like a very like soul deep person. He's a person who people who, and you know, I think you could probably make a case for Aris too. I don't know if I'd put Aris as an I or an E, but I think Aris probably you can make a case for him here as well.
Yeah. I feel like Colleen is a really good one.
Okay. I like that one too.
I could definitely see that. I can imagine this type of person who is, you know, just very much like, because David is like so much thinking about the game. And yes, he does make these connections, but Colleen, I feel like, was just more about like the relationships with the people that were out there.
True. And I think like INFPs tend to be like those really big dreamers, like kind of living in their own like daydream head. And I think that is definitely Colleen too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, ISFP is the next one.
ISFP. That's our introvert, sensing, feeling, perceiving.
That's right. And so this is going to be like kind of your more hippy-dippy, artsy type of person. So like gentle caretakers, like really present and enjoying the moment, but like they have their own brand of like low key enthusiasm, and like very into like the well-being of others. So like, you know, the gentle souls, I do think these tend to be some of our like artistic, type players, if you will.
Yeah.
And like so
Eric Reichenbach.
Probably not. I think Eric Reichenbach probably would identify as an E. I think so. I think Eric Reichenbach is probably an extrovert, though I don't know that for sure. But I do think he is an artistic person. I mean, I think the person that that comes to mind for me here is like a Joe Anglim.
Oh boy.
Yeah, hot take. Joe Anglim, and actually maybe like a Kelly Wigglesworth too, especially in like her second showing as a person who is very like present and
Kelly.
Like, all right, let's go with Kelly. We don't want to talk about Joe's recent activities.
I'm not sure how much I guess he said he's a more feeling than thinking, so okay.
And how about Wu? I think Wu is probably a good example here too.
Yeah. INFP. There you go.
This is ISFP.
Oh, sorry, ISFP. Yeah, they say that this is the adventurer, flexible and charming artist, always ready to explore and experience something new.
Yeah, so I think Kelly's probably a good example of that. Somebody who's like very present, looking for things to do with her body, but is also like very present in every moment with her own mind. I think we see that from Wu. I think we see that from Ethan Zahn as well, is another person who I'd put here.
Okay. All right. And then I think we have one more introvert archetype.
That's right. We have the ISTP.
ISTP. And who is that?
This is going to be like your reclusive protagonist. So think somebody who is like independent and adventurous, but like very quiet and reserved. So I would put here like Jack Bauer, Arya Stark, like Shrek is probably an ISTP.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think we have like some pretty, pretty stereotypical ISTPs in the Survivor lore. And I think the biggest one is probably James Clement. Yeah. So somebody who really likes to function on their own, independent, isn't like, doesn't feel restricted by rules. So like very comfortable, like breaking the rules if they feel like that's what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And somebody who is like loyal and has internal values, but is not like overly concerned with being like law abiding and generally like functions independently.
Yeah. So he's there for his friends, but he'll also, you know, throw Randy off of the set on Sumo at Sea.
Exactly. And he will smash the bag on top of him and he's not going to feel bad about it
because
he did what he had to do.
Etiquette. Yeah,
that's right.
Okay. All right. So those are our eyes.
Those are all of our eyes. Yeah. Yeah, so in looking at some of like the Survivor winners, I think it's interesting to see we have winners in a lot of different types here in the Myers-Briggs typology, and I's versus E's are actually a pretty even split. I think we have about I would say around 25 winners who were E's and about 15 who were I's. I put Sandra and Tony both in the E category. So really, we have 23 E's. So, you know, not a really dramatic difference there between E and I.
I would think that the I's would do better.
Interesting. Why do you say that?
I feel like that an introvert is more interested in like the I thought the extrovert is like, hey, it's all about me. Me. You know, here, I want attention. I want this. I want that. Introvert, I feel like, is more about, you know, what's going on with other people.
Yeah, I think that's probably true and like more able to connect. But I wonder if it's just like ratio wise that television tends to cast more extroverts. So they just like have a higher odd of winning.
Lindsay, did you find that there's one particular letter that was like, oh, this was it? Like that, you know, 90% of the Survivor winners are T's and not F's.
So not so dramatically in the overall scheme of Survivor, but I did notice a theme in recent Survivor. So in the past 15 seasons or so, since like the mid-20s, almost all of our winners have been P's over J's. So back in the day, it was easier to win as a J. So remember, J means like people who are really organized and logical and like type A more, they orient themselves. And P's are a little more flexible, adaptable, comfortable with change. And now back in the day, it was much easier to win as a J. You know, we had the Brian Heidecks, we had the Yules, we had the Rob Marianos. You know, we have folks who sort of like form a really orderly alliance and frog march it to the end. And nowadays, I think that Survivor has had so many twists and turns, and you have to be a lot more adaptable in the game. And we move in voting blocks now. Mm-hmm. So now it's a lot more appealing to be a P and to be flexible. So those are more recent winners, our P's. That's the only dramatic type difference, I would say.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about our extroverts here.
Let's do it. I guess we can start with the ESTPs.
ESTP. That's our extrovert, sensing, thinking, perceiving.
Yes. And these are our thrill seekers. These are people who like to do and move their bodies, and they like to push boundaries, and they're going to dive into action. And they're going to get things done, and they work well with others. But this is like, think of your friend who like always accepts a, like a super outlandish dare. And you're like, why would you ever do that? And
like
ESTPs. Yes. Primetime Alex Stein. Just like willing to do whatever.
Okay.
So this is like your Han Solos, Sawyer from Lost. These are, you know, sort of like your rugged doers. And this is actually the category where I think we have the most Survivor winners of all time.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Who you got?
Well, I got Tony Vlachos here. outlandish, outrageous, willing to do anything, really extroverted, has all this energy, very adaptable to change, and comfortable with doing and moving and thinking on his feet. And I think Tony is a good example of that.
Okay. Because he climbs the ladder. He goes up in the spy nest.
That's right. And he also, built his bunkers. Mm-hmm. Tony's a doer. Tony's constantly moving in Survivor.
He is. He's like a shark.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's always moving and he's like very adaptable.
Well, who else? Or who are the other people that are the ESTPs?
So other people I have here are Sarah Lucina.
Mm-hmm. That's why they get along so well.
Yep. I think so. And I think that's like the cop vibe is very S. So cop vibe is very like attention to detail. Mm-hmm. In I'm very observant in what other people are thinking, saying, doing. Other people I have here, Natalie Anderson, I think is another like strong doer in the game, a mover and shaker and very unafraid. Tyson, I think you could probably make an argument for him here. JT, I would put here.
Your favorite.
And I actually... My favorite, my man, and Sandra Diaz-Twine.
Interesting. Why Sandra?
Well, so I think Sandra is an extroverted person. I think Sandra is somebody who is, comfortable in these social settings. I don't think Sandra needs to recharge her batteries around people. Mm-hmm. When it comes to S versus N, I think Sandra is really literal. I don't think Sandra is thinking in these like big dreamy pictures in the way that like a Kim, a Denise, a Yule is. I think she's like a very literal thinker. When it comes to T versus F, Sandra is making all of her decisions with her brain. She mm-hmm. does not make them with her feelings. She will cut a Courtney Yates. She don't care. And P, I think Sandra is flexible. Sandra does not need a plan and to stick to it. Sandra's like good with whatever. And I think that makes her like a pretty generic ESTP. She's not like active and on her feet the way that like a Tony is, but she's moving and shaking in the game.
The only thing I would say with Sandra is I feel like that she does get very like locked in on a thing. Like if she doesn't like you, like if you said her name, it doesn't matter if like, okay, well, logically, and maybe she even in Heroes vs. Villains, she's like, I don't like Russell, but I'll come around to Russell. But it seems like that in later seasons, especially in Game Changers and Winners at War, it's like, Tyson said my name, I'm not going to come around and work with him. I'm not going to work with this person. Rob didn't tell me that he was going to do that, so Amber has to go. But I don't know that's necessarily if she's like always making like logical decisions.
That's interesting. So you think she could be more of a J versus a P, like less adaptable to the change?
I don't know if it's a reluctancy to adapt, but I do feel like that she does get locked in on if she is out on you, she's out on you.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. See, I also think of Sandra in Heroes vs. Villains at the Merge when she goes in there and she's like, Rupert, listen, Russell's not your friend. Mm-hmm. And the heroes just want nothing to do with her. And even though Sandra hates Russell with all of her core, she continues to work with him. Yeah. She like is, this is what I need to do to survive. The anyone but me strategy, I think, is very much a P type strategy.
Yeah.
So maybe in her later games, she's less of an anyone but me.
I feel like
type.
She's gotten away from that. Whereas like she probably, should have been trying to work with Rob and Amber in this season. Like she probably needed, maybe she didn't feel like she needed them. But, it wouldn't have been bad to, that she just spent all this time with Rob and maybe she felt like, all right, well, we're a bigger target. But she was very locked in on Rob and Amber have to go.
That's a good point. But I also think of her in Game Changers where she was like all set and ready to work with Tony. And then like Tony would be like creeping around in the bushes and she'd be like, all right, I got to cut this guy. Like, mm-hmm. I do think that, I don't know. I don't really feel like Sandra is that married to things in the game. I think she's a pretty adaptable as long as it moves her forward to an extent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That's our ESTP. What are some other E types?
The next E type we can talk about is ESFP.
Yes.
So like our ESTPs, but these people are making decisions with their feelings. They're a little more relationship based. And so these are like the effortlessly charming, cool person you went to high school with who you sort of want to hate, but you can't because they're just so lovely and likable. They're like vivacious entertainers. They love life, very life of the party, very charming, and very like able to create positive experiences. So think like Joey Tribbiani mm-hmm. for this type. And I think the survivor person I would say best embodies this is Parvati.
Parvati.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, she is just so likable. Is her social game is, I really think, defined by her ability. I mean, we use the word charm a lot with Parvati, and sometimes I think it's like a little bit sexist, but she really does make people want to be around her and want to spend time with her.
Yeah. Spontaneous, energetic, and enthusiastic people. Life is never boring around them.
That's right. I think like Michelle has sort of taken up like the new ESFP crown as well. Again, I think somebody who's like pretty flexible and adaptable in the game and really like bases her game around connecting with people in a very like social way.
Yeah. The entertainer, they're called here on 16 Personalities.
Yeah. Do you feel like that fits for Parvati?
Yes, I think so. You know, I'm not sure necessarily, though, if Parvati is like the life of the party. Like if you went to a party with her, like, I'm not sure if she would be like holding court. But like everybody that she's going to have a one-on-one interaction with, I feel like is really going to enjoy her company.
Yeah, I met her at a live know-it-alls once back in the day. The one that she left for and then sort of came back.
The very first one, yes.
Yeah, the first one. And I met her and I like went and introduced myself to her just because I think she's so cool. And she was eating a chocolate-covered strawberries. She had a bunch of them in a box. And she was like, "Hi, Lindsay, nice to meet you." And she fed me one in my mouth, a chocolate-covered strawberry. I was like, this girl's so cool. I immediately liked her, right? She just, she has that type of personality. But so you're saying you think it's more in like a one-on-one connection than in like a larger group setting?
Yeah, that's what I would say, but I don't know the character types as well.
Okay, so who do you think is like a life of the party type in Survivor history?
I mean, maybe not as much in Survivor, but I feel like, what about a Bryce?
Oh yeah, Bryce is the life of a party. We're gonna get to him. We're about to get to Bryce.
Okay, all right. He's a different type. Okay. What are some other E's?
So the next one we're going to talk about is ENFP.
ENFP.
Yep. So this is extroverted, uses intuition, feeling, and perceiving. So these people are generally very people-centered. They're creators. They love possibilities and potential, and very like a passionate type of person. And I think good examples of this in pop culture is like Lorelai Gilmore or Miss Maisel or like Michael Scott or Jess from New Girl, like people that you'd be like, oh, that person vomits rainbows. Like that is an ENFP.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually where I would put Bryce. I think Bryce is an ENFP.
Yes, enthusiastic, creative, and sociable free spirit. You can always find a reason to smile with this person.
Does that not describe Bryce?
Yeah, I could see that also.
You know who I also think is an ENFP?
Who?
Wanda.
Wanda?
I think Wanda's an ENFP. Yeah. Just like really bright and like full of possibilities and
what
like brightens up and livens up a room. I think T-Bird is an ENFP as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do. Yeah. Has that like really big energy. And I think like, so I am also an ENFP.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed something about ENFPs is like, I think we tend to get really excited about projects and have these like new ideas and then tend to get excited about the next project and like leave things half finished.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is like a very ENFP characteristic.
Yeah. Do we have any ENFP winners?
We do. So this is definitely where I would put Todd Herzog.
Mm-hmm.
Though I think you could probably make an argument for him as a T versus an F. But I think he plays a little bit more with the F function, especially like the way that he appeals to people in his final tribal, I think is very like he understands the connection with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this might be where I put Aris. Again, he's, I think, skates the line between E and I. But I think Todd and Aris, you can make an argument for here.
Okay. All right. Then after the ENFP, who else do we have?
We have ENTP, another fascinating type.
Okay. What's the ENTP all about?
So this is going to be like the lord of like witty memes, who's like trolling you on the internet and is like organized your senior prank in high school. These are like the quick-witted, very innovative, looking for like new solutions to problems. Think like Tyrion Lannister, Chandler Bing type. And Rob, this is actually where I would have put you in Survivor Amazon, just watching you as a TV character in season 6.
Okay. All right. Oh, well, I'll take that. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Smart and curious thinkers who cannot resist an intellectual challenge.
That's right. These are some like really entertaining characters that we have had in Survivor history, too. We have a lot of winners from this category, and we just have a lot of, I think, like fun, like beloved characters in this category because they tend to make for good television.
Okay. Who are the winners?
Richard Hatch, I think, is a great example of an ENTP. Yeah. And I mean, I think Richard Hatch compared to Tyrion Lannister, I sort of like love that comparison. I think
they're very similar. Amazing race together.
They should. Oh my God, that would be awful. But yeah, very similar type of people. I'd put Nick Wilson here. Adam Klein, maybe. Chris Underwood. Actually, maybe both Chris's I would put here as well.
Okay. Wow. Chris Underwood.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we have like so little gameplay to go off of for Chris Underwood that like ultimately it's hard. But I think the way that Chris Underwood like dodges and rolls at the end of that season when he makes his way back in, he is using his brain. He is thinking strategically. He puts himself up for the fire. He's playing adaptably. You know, he's connecting with people via his extroversion. I think that's probably where I'd slot him in.
Okay. All right. Let's keep going. A few more E-types.
Yeah, next is our ENTJ.
Okay.
So this one is an interesting type. So this is going to be your really strategic visionary leaders. I think this is like a very common type for a CEO of a company or like a big boss. Very motivated
like
to organize. Kacer's probably an E. Kacer's probably an I. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
But I could see the NTJ for Kacer there. Yeah, because I think Kacer is like similar to a Yule, who I would say is an INTJ. I think that's probably what Kacer is.
Mm-hmm.
But like likes to lead and likes to lead confidently. So this is like the person at school who would like remind the teacher that like we have homework due today.
Yes.
And that like you're a little bit scared of too.
Yeah.
So this is like your Tywin Lannister. For anyone who watches Gilmore Girls, Paris Geller is like a perfect ENTJ.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jan Levinson from The Office, also an ENTJ. So some fun characters.
Yeah. So who are the survivor? I guess Yule is straddling the fence, I guess.
I would put him as an ENTJ probably.
Yeah.
So I don't think he falls here.
Who else? Who do you have?
So I actually don't have any winners in this category. Yeah, I think nobody has won as an ENTJ. I encourage anybody to debate me on this if you think you can think of a winner who falls here. I can't. But some of the people I would classify as ENTJs, Corinne Kaplan, Chrissy Hofbeck,
okay,
Angelina Keeley, Eliza Orlins.
Interesting. All women that you have as ENTJs.
I do. And I think this is like a really interesting thing and probably like an interesting moment to talk about how I think that we live in a patriarchal society, and in the microcosm of Survivor, it sometimes becomes harder to win this game and to be respected in this game as a woman who is playing as a T. So women who make decisions with their brain instead of their heart, I often think that this is a challenge for women in Survivor to like get respect or to be liked. I mean, Chrissy Hofbeck arguably played a better game. I think you could possibly make that argument for her, but she is like a middle-aged, opinionated, strong woman. And I think that rubs people the wrong way because of the type of society we lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not good. But I think just factually, we don't have a lot of T winners who are women. We have majority T winners in Myers-Briggs, but not a lot of them are women.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that is something that like bugs me a little bit is that if you go out there as a woman who is like playing with your head and strategy, you get like you know, you're a Cass or you're a Chrissy or you're an Angelina. Like, you turn up as one of these characters who people are like annoyed by, when really you're just trying to play a logical game the way that a man would.
Lindsay, I'm sure this is a chicken or the egg question, but, you know, how could people go about trying to, you know, win the game as a woman who is more of a thinking decision maker than a feeling decision maker? Is it, do you have to sow the seeds for that? I mean, it's not necessarily something like the edit is from the show. I'm not sure necessarily if it's like a production thing, if the jury is making a decision. So how could women who are making strategic thinking decisions improve their chances at the end of the game?
Well, the larger thing, I think, is that it's systemic, right? We need to like change our culture in general to stop like including this narrative that like women are bossy when women have strong opinions and aren't afraid to vocalize them. Now, I think like some of our winners who are women who are T's, like examples I would give of that is Sophie, Sarah, Natalie, Sandra. So, I mean, like, what is the key to their success then, I guess, is they also had to balance, like, being able to build relationships. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes men get to be unapologetic in Survivor. You know, you can be Richard Hatch and, like, own your game, and you can be unapologetic about the game you played. And women, I think, like, there's less leeway for them to do that. Like, Sarah Lucina still has to be humanized as, like, well, she's a mother, and she cares, and her and Tony are best friends. Like, she still had to be humanized in order for people to feel comfortable to vote with her, vote for her.
Mm-hmm.
So I think women have to like do more of a balancing act. They have to like be a T, but still be able to flex that F and really connect with people in a way that like a man like Rob may not have to as much. He can just like frog march his people to the end and people are like, what a great job he did. Whereas like Sarah Lucina has to soften the blow for people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That was great analysis.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I think we have three E's left to talk about.
We do. And the next one is ENFJ. And ENFJs are going to be that like amazing English teacher that you had who saw all your potential and helped you like reach that potential. And, you know, these are charismatic, idealistic, very organized people who are driven to do what's best for like the greater good. You'll often hear these referred to as like the teacher type, and like to help other people develop them and make a lasting difference. This is a very likable type. Folks generally are like drawn to them, and they're sensitive to others and like helping others as well.
Okay. So these are our charismatic, inspiring leaders able to mesmerize, their listeners.
Yes. The person I would describe most as this is Ceree Fields.
Ceree. Oh. Who has not won?
Who has not won? Yeah. I think the only winner I would say who could be an ENFJ is probably Tommy.
Tommy?
Yeah, which is funny because I think like he is a teacher too. So I think he is
teaching time with Tommy.
That's right.
He did mesmerize the viewers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, riveting TV. No, but I think that Tommy was generally somebody who was, like, well-liked on his season.
Sure.
You know, his season wasn't well-liked. But I think he was, like, a socially accepted person on his season.
Yeah, certainly. He had a great social game. People out there loved him.
But, yeah, Ceree and Jeff Probst. Jeff Probst is an ENFJ.
Oh, wow. Well, this is a hot take.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a meta game.
Meta game. What is it about Jeff that you see as an ENFJ?
Like the way he facilitates. So I do think he's very E. He likes being in, you know, leading and guiding these conversations. He's always making connections between things and pointing out like themes and patterns, which I think is a very N way of taking in information. I think he connects to others. He understands sort of the like the feelings element of the show. And I think like you with your podcast, he is keeping things on track. He is keeping the show rolling. And he is like the backbone and the spine. But I think the way he facilitates and talks to people at tribal council is very much like he's a teacher bringing everybody into the dialogue, which is, I think, a very ENFJ feel.
Okay. Last two. Do you want to talk about ESTJ or ESFJ?
Let's do ESFJ.
ESFJ. Okay. Our extrovert, sensing, feeling, judging.
Yeah. So this is going to be a very provider type, very popular, conscientious, helping. They are really dedicated to their duty to others, can be very sensitive to criticism. I do think this tends to be like a sensitive type, but they are also empathetic and tend to put their needs above the needs of others. I think like you can think Bilbo Baggins here, like Chris Traeger might be an ESFJ. Yeah.
And, literally a ESFJ. Yes.
Literally an ESFJ. Mm-hmm. But this is, I think Kathy and Dawn are good examples of ESFJs. Okay. Mm-hmm. And now I think that, again, this is another place we reach like survivor stereotypes of like middle-aged women, because I would also put Tina West in here. I think middle-aged women who fall into the ESFJ category, you know, these like lovely motherly types, tends to be well-received because they're like comprehensible to people, right? You like want your middle-aged woman to be this like motherly caring person. But I think if you are a middle-aged woman who like does not slot into that role, like a Debbie Warner or like some other characters we've seen who aren't as like emotionally connecting with other people, I think that those are some of like our less liked middle-aged women characters. And I think that's another frustrating thing.
Now, when you say less liked, is that by the audience or the players that are on the island?
Maybe both.
Mm.
What do you think?
You know, we've talked a lot about like the moms in terms of winning the game at the end. You know, I think that Debbie was actually a pretty popular character with the viewers in their first season. But, you know, we've talked about also where, you know, that a mom who's like a Dawn, you know, can't necessarily win because then she gets to the end, everybody's mad at her. Whereas more of like the tough mom who's not necessarily the person who is like a mom figure to everybody that's out there, like a Denise, is able to win if they get to the end of the game. But I do think that's sort of like that when people are around the figure who is more like trying to mother the tribe, I do think that they drop their defenses, they drop their guard, and then it's almost like, how could you betray me? We treated you, you know, I wasn't coming for you because you were like a mom. I wasn't like playing the game as hard against you.
I would agree with that. So where do you think, I think Tina falls into this category, ESFJ. Do you think Tina is a gentle mom or do you think she's more of that like tough mom type of
I think
persona?
She's kind of both. I think she has both sides of that. I mean, she is a tough lady. She is, she's a great athlete and does, I think, running and climbing and all sorts of different things. In Survivor, the Australian Outback, you know, I'm not sure necessarily in terms of like, she wasn't really looked at as person who was like the heavy. I think she was able to sort of like, manipulate, Colby to do a lot of the things that she needed to have done. I'm trying to think of like the betrayals, that were made. I feel like probably Jerry and Amber were probably the biggest betrayals that she had on her hands. Did Amber vote for Colby? I'm not sure if Jerry did. So, I could definitely see both parts of Tina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she's one that I think was able to sort of, she got the votes at the end, whereas like Dawn has people like Brenda in the jury saying, pop out your teeth. And you're right. It's because like here, Brenda felt so connected to Dawn that she couldn't stomach the fact that Dawn turned on her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's almost like that you have to, I think, as an older woman on Survivor, I think you have to make sure you're not like trading on like, oh, okay, well, these people have like positive relationships with their mom, and so I don't necessarily want to, you know, trade on that relationship that they have, that they're looking at me as a mother figure. I think it's sort of like important to establish like their own, you know, unique relationship and role in the tribe, as opposed to just saying like, hey, I'm, you know, I'm the mom. And then sometimes that also gets put on people who may not want it, like we've seen with other players in modern seasons.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think this is like another interesting example of like the women who are, are women who tend on the older scale. None of them have won that are a T, right? So this is like another, as a woman, it is more beneficial for you to come in and play with this like social game and be digestible to people as an F type player.
Mm-hmm. Okay. ESTJ. Last one.
ESTJ. So this is our extroverted, sensing, thinking, judging. See, these are your hardworking traditionalists. They love taking leadership roles. They love getting stuff done. They want to preserve the traditions and provide security for their people. They're strict boundary setters. They're very responsible. So this is like the know-it-all in your class growing up ended always... Oh, yeah, like Steven. Now, I don't know if I would say Steven is an ESTJ, but yeah, it's just like somebody who always ends up in charge because they are just so competent at things. They're so good at things. They always end up in charge, like your McGonagall type. And this is where I would slot in some of our, you know, alpha type men, our Boston Rob, Tom Westman, Jeremy Collins. This is where I would put
the executive. That's what they call them on 16 Personalities.
I call them the mob boss.
The mob boss. Okay. Administrators unsurpassed at managing things or people.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's like the style that Boston Rob and Tom Westman really play their game in, yeah. Right? It's like they find their people, they get them in a line, and then they move them to the end.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested to know that you have Jeremy in that group. I feel like that Rob and Tom do play a similar sort of game. Could you talk that through in terms of having Jeremy in this character type? Because I do think that Jeremy, I feel like, is like more of a, you know, charismatic figure than somebody who like is sort of seen as like the leader of a big group. Like, I feel like that Jeremy is comfortable hiding behind like an Andrew Savage or a Tony, where I feel like that he sort of like wants to not necessarily be seen as the guy, where Rob and Tom most certainly want to be seen as the guy and would be insulted if they weren't seen as the guy.
I agree. And I think that generally Jeremy is just way more flexible than the likes of Rob and Tom. I think that Jeremy probably skates closer to that J and P line, because I think Jeremy has like played very adaptable strategy games.
Yeah.
So I think you can make an argument that he falls into a P. But I also think like Jeremy by nature is sort of like a boss man. Like, he is a man that's in charge of things, and he has enough wherewithal in the game to know that he needs to hide behind people. And so I think that part of the reason that he plays that game is he knows this is the type of person he is. He knows he is a leader, and he is a threat, and he's an assertive, strong, talented man. And he needs to sort of try to blend into the background. So I think he has good P type tendencies. I also think like Jeremy is a bit more of a connector with people, like could skew closer to the F line as well than maybe we've seen from Boston Rob or like Russell. I would also put here Russell Hance, Brad Culpepper. So yeah, Jeremy, I think like tends towards the middle of these things, but I still think this is where I would probably land him.
All right, Lindsay, we've talked about 16 different types. What's the practical way that people could be able to like take this information? They take the quiz, they learn, okay, this is what I am. And now what do you do with that information?
Right. So I think now, once you have your Myers-Briggs type, first off, you're learning a little bit more about who you are And I also think it's going to help you when you're identifying other folks. So I think like a good example of this is this F&T dichotomy of how do you make your decisions with your feelings or with your thinking. And I think when you're talking to people at work, understanding more where people are coming from, like the logic of your thinking is never going to appeal to me quite as much as how something is going to make me feel. And that's because I'm a feeler. I make decisions based on my emotions. And I like it when somebody appeals to my feelings because that's what matters to me more. Mm-hmm. So knowing who you are talking to at the end of the day, I think it can help you achieve goals and also achieve like a cohesive team unit by having balance between all of these different types.
Do I have to have other people take these quizzes or do I have to get so good at Myers-Briggs that I can eyeball like, oh, okay. Actually, this person is ESFJ. So what I need to do is sort of cater my approach to this type of personality.
I mean, both. If you can make everybody take it, I would. That's mm-hmm. what I do to all my friends.
Could an employer make their company take the Myers-Briggs test? Or would that be some sort of like, hey, this was a discriminatory policy against ESFPs?
I think it's a discriminatory policy. I think like you are, it's an HR issue to do that because it is discriminatory. Because also like folks who are a P, so I'm a P, for example, I'm not organized by nature. I like flexibility by nature, but
what,
I go to work.
What if a boss posted like, hey, everybody take the Myers-Briggs challenge?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people like put it in their email signatures now.
Mm-hmm. What they
Have
are.
Have you ever seen that? Yeah. Yeah. So people like will take it at work.
Actually, I haven't looked at it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I like in the education world, a lot of people will stick that in their email signature. I do think it's a little like boxy and stereotypical because like just because you're a P doesn't mean you're like actually a disorganized person in life. Right. You can like still make a to-do list and mm-hmm. run a calendar.
Yeah.
So I don't think you should use that in like your HR practices, but I think it's good for like understanding other people.
Lindsay, what about in dating? So, OK, if I'm an ISTJ, am I looking for like would my ideal mate be another ISTJ or would it be like is it like a magnet where my ideal mate would be a ENFP?
I don't know. I think that like for dating, it's a little fluffy. I think your ideal mate is like the person you like spending the time with and you have shared values with. Mm-hmm. Now, I think like people who are, you know, S and J, they may have like a more traditional core value belief system. So they may need somebody who also shares that value system because that like those traditions are very important to them. So maybe you need someone who has that sort of shared value. Maybe you're a really adventurous person and you're a P and you need somebody who can like give you that in life too, who wants to adventure with you. But also maybe you're a P and you need somebody who's going to like ground you and make you be a rational human being most of the time. So I don't know. Actually, my partner is the same type as me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that results in like, we like talk about our feelings all the time, constantly. We are constantly like verbally processing every thought that goes through our head. And to other people, that would be overwhelming maybe. But for us, it's like we speak a shared language. Mm-hmm. So I think there's probably some people who need balance with it and some people who like, yeah, maybe your perfect human is the same type as you because they get you on this really higher level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. This is very interesting. I'm, you know, fascinated with, you know, what to do with all this. I really want to have the First Lady of Podcasting take this. I think that in terms of our own discussions, that I definitely feel like that. I feel like that I'm definitely more of a T in thinking, and she's more of an F in feeling. In terms of that, you know, she doesn't want to necessarily hear about. The, you know, that she knows like how something makes her feel and that's it. She doesn't want to hear about a debate about it.
I'm with her on that.
Yeah.
My feelings are facts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but like, it's important, obviously, for you and Nicole to know that about each other because, like, when you get into like an argument or a disagreement about something, obviously, you may come from this very logical side, and that's valid. And Nicole is going to come from this side of like, well, your logic is making me feel unheard, or it feels like condescending, or whatever it is. And you two have to like understand that about each other.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, it's helpful to know.
If I had to guess, I think that she is, I'd say, INFJ, I think. The Kim Spradlin.
Interesting. Although, let's have her take the test. I'm curious.
Have her take the test. I'm still a little unsure about the with the J versus the P.
Okay, of like where she falls organization.
The actual distinction of what a J is versus a P. But that's I just need to do more research.
Think of how you organize your life when you're going on vacation.
Yes.
Do you love like the flexibility of like, ooh, every day will be a new adventure and I just know like I want to go free explore? Or do you have like a really detailed itinerary?
I have a detailed itinerary. That's a J. That's J?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's very
All
J.
Right. So maybe she's a INFP.
Maybe.
Yes. Okay.
You definitely think she's an I?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. Okay. All right. So then that would move her from the Kim Spradlin to, was that Parvati, INFP?
No, that was like Colleen Haskell.
Oh, Colleen Haskell. Oh, okay. Well, that's a win-win. Okay. All right. Lindsay, this was so much fun. Any other resources you want to tell people?
Not that I can think of, but you know what? I will on my Twitter. I'll post up the different charts that Rob and I just talked through so you can see where these survivor players fall in a graphic that is a little more easy to read.
Okay. All right. That's great. What is your Twitter, Lindsay?
I am Lindsay Types, and I'm Lindsay with an E.
Okay. Lindsay Types.
And it has nothing to do with Myers-Briggs type. No. I just meant like I literally type on a keyboard, but it's very fitting here.
Okay, so that was your Twitter handle of that you like basically it'd be like Rob tweets, Lindsay Types. It just so happens that it's like a double entendre of that you also are Myers-Briggs certified practitioner.
Yeah, what a lovely coincidence.
Okay, Lindsay, I would love to, you know, hear your thoughts about Big Brother Myers-Briggs types.
I have many.
Yes. Have you given any thought? It just a little snippet of Myers-Briggs and how it applies to Big Brother. Briggs Brother.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so I think like our two greatest players of all time in Big Brother have the same type. And
yes.
I think that is ENTP, and I think that is Dan and Dr. Will, and that is like the Richard Hatch type. So I think like that is a type that we have seen very successful on Big Brother. We've also seen it successful on Survivor. So I would love to dive into the current cast more of what their types are and what that could mean.
Okay. I think that there's going to be a lot of people who are like the Myers-Briggs nuts who are going to be very excited that we've opened this line of communication.
Great. I would love to talk to them.
Okay. All
right, I'm sure they will have like opinions too on some of the things that like I may have gotten wrong here.
I'm sure. When you say that,
that's part of the fun.
That Reddit is really into Myers-Briggs. What do they do with the Myers-Briggs on Reddit?
Myers-Briggs like has its own, you know, Reddit page, and people will just post things all the time of like, I'm an ENFP and I'm dating an INFJ and we're having this relationship issue. So give me your advice.
Mm-hmm.
So Reddit loves to like, you know, really discuss this, the typologies.
Okay. Should Rob and Akiva have a Myers-Briggs idea on the wheel?
Yes. That would be so fun.
Okay. All right. We'll see. We'll see if we can figure something out. All right. Lindsay, thank you so much. This was so much fun. Of course, we've got a ton of stuff for you with not yet Briggs Brother, but Big Brother going on this week. Be sure to be on the lookout for that. Of course, more talking with T-Bird. We talked to Randy Bailey the other day. We had another one coming up later on this week. So be on the lookout for that. And so make sure you subscribe to the podcast at robiswebsite.com/iTunes or robiswebsite.com/Spotify. And of course, we could not do this without the support of our patrons to create all of this content. Find out more about everything we have going on in our patron community at robiswebsite.com/patron. Thanks so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.